First, we'll talk about that pathway to a deal and a review of some of the newspaper headlines. At the Irish Times, Brexit. All eyes on Brussels as Johnson and Varadkar move closer to possible deal. No EU-UK agreement on a new withdrawal pact without the Republic's assent, says Dublin. This one from the Irish Independent. Brexit breakthrough, hope for a deal as Boris Johnson finally gives ground on customs checks. And it says, a Brexit breakthrough is on the cards after British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Taoiseach Leo Varadkar negotiated a pared-down free trade agreement. The Irish Examiner, leaders upbeat on pathway to deal. The Irish Mirror, very creative headline, reference to the Beatles because the thing happened in Liverpool. We can work it out. Leo's Liverpool lifeline on a deal after meeting with Boris. Looking to some of the UK papers, Johnson and Varadkar say they see a pathway to a deal in The Guardian. Taoiseach convinced that UK and Ireland want an agreement in the interests of all parties. The Times, Britain and Ireland see path to agreement, hopes of a Brexit deal revived. And The Telegraph, Northern Ireland is a burden on the rest of the UK. We can't let it get in the way of Brexit. And it goes on, I'm sure the DUP won't be pleased. Northern Ireland has long been a millstone round the neck of the rest of the UK, and to fail to take back our independence because of that would be a historic tragedy. It is not widely known that it costs the UK more to support Northern Ireland than it does to be in the UK. That's what they say. Extraordinary stuff from the Telegraph. Well, the question on all of our minds, is there a workable deal in the offing ahead of the summit next week? If the joint statement put out after yesterday's emergency meeting is to be believed, Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar have managed to find significant common ground. Now, I'm joined on the line from Brussels by Jack Parrock, Brussels correspondent for Euronews, and by Jeremy Lefroy, Conservative MP and a member of the House of Commons exiting the EU committee. You're both very welcome to the programme. The action today, of course, is in Brussels, Jack, as the Brexit secretary meets with Michel Barnier. What is the mood in Brussels? Is it optimistic that something has shifted?
Well, there is certainly more optimism after this meeting between the Taoiseach and the UK Prime Minister yesterday. It was sort of unexpected how positive their messaging was coming out of it, saying that they thought that there could be a pathway to a deal. Now, as far as the Brussels perspective, Stephen Barclay, the Brexit Secretary, and Michel Barnier, the chief negotiator from the EU, will be trying to work out what the technical operations need to be, specifically regarding how the Irish border will work after Brexit, on the grounds of what presumably they've heard from Leo Varadkar and Boris Johnson.
We can't really figure out what they have in mind. We know that the EU rejected out of hand the rather complex proposal from Boris Johnson, which would have given the DUP a complete veto. We also know that the Brexit Secretary has conceded that there can be no veto for any one party in Northern Ireland. So what's the speculation as to what's on offer?
It's really difficult to know exactly what Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar have agreed so far. We're all waiting for sort of snippets of information. But it looks like there will be some sort of suggestion that Stormont won't have a vote, that perhaps there could be a different option for the sort of fat border checks that were going to take place away from the border. We don't know what Boris Johnson has agreed on that yet either. We just know that Leo Varadkar has been persuaded by him that some of the options he's putting on the table might be possible. Also, it's important to note from an EU perspective, when it comes to the Irish border issue, Michel Barnier and all of the other EU leaders have been very much led by the Irish Taoiseach and sort of followed his opinion on this. So his positivity will bleed into the other EU capitals, and they will be hoping somewhat that there might be able to be a deal by the end of this week, as is hoped.
Michel Barnier is to brief ambassadors from the 27 on this deal. So the question is whether or not all 27 will row in behind it, or, as you say, will the Taoiseach's assent to it give the green light to the 27?
You would think so, but it would be a very, very big change of heart from the EU27 if one of them, right at the last moment, didn't agree to what was being on the table. We've said it many times. EU unity among the remaining member states has been pretty surprising throughout this process. They've backed Michel Barnier. They've let him get on with the negotiations with the Theresa May government and now with the Boris Johnson government. Obviously, Boris Johnson has tried to take a sort of stronger hand and has moved around different EU capitals. He's not been to Brussels as Prime Minister yet. He will do at that summit next week. But I think the expectation is that if a deal is done and if it can be agreed, firstly with Ireland and also with the European Commission, that the EU member states will get behind it. It's important to say that yesterday we saw some more negative messaging coming from the French President Emmanuel Macron. He was saying that the British need to accept their responsibility. His Europe Minister, Amélie de Montchalin, saying today, this morning, that she felt that there is probably still likely that no deal Brexit can happen. There is positivity now, but there's also not very much time. We've got this EU Council summit Thursday, Friday next week, where really it needs to be absolutely signed off to prevent a no-deal Brexit on October the 31st.
It's been suggested already that in order to achieve this 31st of October deadline, that what they will produce is a technical document, like, you know, the way the chefs on the telly say, here's one I made earlier. That it will be a deal that was substantially there, but only requires some small tweaks. In other words, any one of the versions of the deal, it could have been the Northern Ireland backstop only customs union. It could be some variant that Theresa May discussed. But it's already sort of there in much of the detail, and some tweaks will render it fit for purpose by next week's summit.
That is one of the ideas that has been suggested, that it needs to be something that's already down on paper. But to see something go from such negativity to yesterday's positivity, it's hard to see exactly what they've agreed. We simply don't know at the moment, Pat, exactly what the Taoiseach and the Prime Minister have seen in one another's plans that led them to be more positive. But I think that you're right, the working texts that have been going on at the technical level will be there and will be prepared. But when it comes to the summit, the EU leaders aren't sat drafting the details. They're talking more big picture, and then they have to agree on that.
Yeah.
The sort of ideas everyone else has put together beforehand.
Yeah. Now, one of the ideas that we were talking about on this program was the idea that you concede a time-limited backstop, but it requires some sort of vote to get out of the backstop. And this would not be a vote in the Assembly, but rather a vote of the people of Northern Ireland. In other words, a referendum. If they were stuck in the customs union, they would have to vote to get out of it, and they'd have a majority vote to get out with it. I have to say it's an idea that appeals, but whether that would fly with the ERG and the DUP remains to be seen.
It certainly does. I mean, there's not much appetite for Stormont to be given the vote, to be honest. I think that was one of the things in the Boris Johnson suggestions that was quite uncomfortable for people around the European Union, and obviously people in Ireland mainly. So the suggestion is of this vote is something that perhaps has been able to change the opinions, but also not many politicians want to sign themselves up to referendums or the promises of referendums in the future on things that can be so politically difficult and divisive. Mm.
All right. Look, thank you very much, Jack, for joining us. Jeremy Lefroy, Conservative MP, member of the House of Commons exiting the EU committee, has been listening to that conversation. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you optimistic?
I'm certainly more optimistic than I was 24 hours ago.
I'm wondering about the bones of this deal, and I read earlier, possibly before you joined us on the telephone, the piece from the Daily Telegraph, and one always suspects that there's a, if not a hotline, there's some sort of two tin cans and a piece of string between 10 Downing Street and the offices of the Telegraph. Northern Ireland is a burden on the rest of the UK. We can't let it get in the way of Brexit. Northern Ireland has long been a millstone around the necks of the rest of the UK, and to fail to take back our independence because of it would be a historic tragedy. It's not widely known that it costs the UK more to support Northern Ireland than it does to be in the EU. Are we about to see the DUP sold out, do you suspect?
Well, I think that article is a disgrace. Whoever wrote it needs to examine their conscience very clearly. My personal view is always that Northern Ireland is an incredibly important part of the United Kingdom. There are many parts of the United Kingdom that receive more support from the centre than others. And that's as it should be in a modern democratic and humanitarian country. Ultimately, it's up to the people of Northern Ireland to decide where their future lies as per the Belfast Agreement. And it's not for writers of the Daily Telegraph to make that kind of comment, in my opinion. But I suppose we have a free press, so people will write what they write, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's sensible.
But it also, in the way that politicians play to their electorate, newspapers play to their readership. And, I mean, is this some sort of conditioning by the Daily Telegraph?
Well, the Daily Telegraph has a relatively small readership compared with the population of the United Kingdom, so I wouldn't place too much store by what they say. But as you say, it is read more widely in certain circles, but they're relatively small circles.
Do you have any sense of where the deal might be forged? We know that both sides have probably had to concede something in terms of the bottom lines, the red lines. Do you have any suspicion or insight into where the concessions might lie?
I don't have any detailed insight. I mean, as you've been rightly been talking about, there are two areas. One is the way in which consent is given by the people of Northern Ireland, and the second is over the mechanics of customs arrangements. There are various proposals that have been made to try and meet both of those. Indeed, I myself wrote to the government earlier this week suggesting one way round one of those two. But I don't know what the details would be, but I was very encouraged by the joint statement put out by the Taoiseach and the Prime Minister yesterday.
The matter of consent, I mean, given the way the Assembly is structured, you have to have a majority from both Nationalists and Unionists for any significant change like this. In fact, for any major change in the law, there are mechanisms there where one side can veto. On the other hand, if the requirement was for a referendum whereby not just first past the post, 50.0001% winning the day, that you do what perhaps David Cameron should have done and set the bar rather higher for fundamental change, maybe at 2/3 or even 70%, because to get those kind of numbers, you have to have large agreement between Unionists and Nationalists on a course of action.
Yes, and I think it's vital to have a reasonable agreement. You're not going to have everybody agreeing, but as you say, a substantial agreement by the people of Northern Ireland. As you rightly say, referenda in which it's 50% plus one do sadly lead to the kind of division that we've seen in recent years. But I don't know what the details will be. I trust the Irish and British governments to sort out something that is sensible and acceptable.
Now, the politics of this, certainly Boris Johnson would love to get a deal, because all the words that we all have on the record, on video, on audio, you know, do or die, dead in a ditch and so on, if, you know, I'll get out by the 31st. The way to get out of the 31st without having to worry about the Benn Act is to cut a deal. So you get a transition period. All sorts of things can happen. The transition period could be, 2 years. But how long is that piece of string? Because trade deals take a long time to negotiate. And if everyone's kind of settled down and normality has resumed, who cares if it's 2 years or 2.5 years? The process is ongoing. So electorally,
yes, precisely.
Yeah, electorally for him, this would be win-win-win. The man who delivered Brexit goes to the country, dispatches the Brexit party because their job is done, as it were, and utterly wrong-foots the Labour Party.
Yes, I mean, I suppose I don't look at the politics in this quite as much, but obviously the Prime Minister will be. But I think it's in everybody's interests that an agreement is reached and that we can move on to the next stage. And of course, what can happen in the next stage is you can have a series of agreements. So there'll be some agreements that could be, I think, concluded fairly quickly. Others will take longer. And of course, those agreements have to be agreed by all of the other 27, including in some cases, multiple parliaments within the 27. So they necessarily will take a longer time. But whether there's going to be one massive omnibus agreement which takes a number of years to agree, or several staging agreements that can be done, some within a few months and others taking a bit longer, I don't know. I would probably go for the latter, because that seems to be more practical. Yeah. Because if you're talking about a massive, wide-ranging partnership, which is the term used by both sides during the course of these negotiations, then that will take quite a time. But if you're talking about individual elements that make up that long-term partnership, then I think some of them could be done very quickly.
Okay. But in effect, the hard Brexit thrust would be blunted by the fact that, well, we're outside nominally from the UK, we're in a from the EU, we're in a transition period. So we are out, although nothing changes until either the whole agreement or, as you say, a staging of various agreements in various sectors happens. It kind of takes the pressure off. It then goes down to the bureaucrats in the EU and the bureaucrats in Whitehall to get it sorted, and they just go about their work quietly, surfacing from time to time to report. I mean, it means that life can resume.
Yes, I think your characterization is accurate. I think there will be crises, there will probably be deadlines, but hopefully not of the kind of magnitude that we're seeing at the moment. And by the way, let's not assume that everything is done, because it isn't. But at least, as I said, compared with 24 hours ago, I, for one, feel a little bit more optimistic, seeing the clear statement by both the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach yesterday.
All right, look, Jeremy, thank you very much for joining us. We're still obviously operating in the dark, but light will dawn sometime, we expect, midday today or a little after, when the ambassadors are briefed in the 27. Obviously, it's a leaky pot. We'll get something. We'll get maybe crumbs from the ambassador's table. But Jeremy Lefroy, thank you very much for joining us.